If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. E-listening on Wednesday, we have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the love of the Supreme Creator. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is how we externalize from the body and enter other worlds and dimensions. So, if you're ready, take a deep breath and just call yourself forward fully into this present world and dimension. Because that's where we are. For the time being. And we're going to examine how we're constantly shifting in and out of different worlds and realms and dimensions of ongoing existence. So, bottom line, there is no end to your existence. Never at any time will you cease to exist. You are right now an immortal spirit. That which the Supreme Creator creates is eternal and unending in potential and creative manifestation. We're looking at a big picture here, which should give rise to a sense of inner joy. Because I think our biggest fear is that somehow we're going to lose ourselves. We're not going to be the person that we are. That somehow we're going to not have a continuity of our existence. And the reason that gives rise to such fear is because it's the root of fear. And fear is simply false evidence appearing real. And so it's one of those many, many 10,010 different illusions that we allow to intimidate and limit us and to put a cap on our bubbling joy, our bubbling exuberance of life. Because truth sets you free. It liberates you. It gives rise always to a sense of joy and well-being. So we can know something is simply false and not true by the fact that it depresses the life within us. It doesn't give rise to being spirited. And so you can quietly dismiss that and train your mind to align itself with eternal life, ongoing existence, and multidimensional expressions of your being without limitation. So we could also entitle our seminar tonight, Awakening Within the Dream Time. You know, we're all living in dream time. Some are aware of this, particularly the Aboriginal elders and all of the Aboriginal peoples of all the lands practically have some understanding that we're living in a big corporate dream and that our individual lives are episodes that we're dreaming. And because many of the Aboriginal people are conscious in dream time, they play, they enjoy, they create. And they're not limited to this physical body and this physical world. But they are free within that dream time, which we could call the collective consciousness. same thing. So some are aware that this is all dream time, and others believe that this world and this physical body is all there is. And, you know, even thinking that begins to depress the energy, because there's a limit, there's a heaviness with that. And there's a lot of pain and suffering with that. Because unless you are operating from a higher state of consciousness, you're probably in some form of suffering, angst, pain, difficulty, and drama. That's what's down here when you're limited to the third dimensional perspective, which is very physical body limited. So how conscious are you of the numerous shifts in dimension that you make throughout the day and nighttime? Well, most are not quite aware of anything beyond this world and body. For one thing, it's pretty interesting in the dramatics that are playing out on the world stage. And so it's quite easy to get caught up in that point of view, that presentation that all of the media feeds our senses, you know, all day and all night if you want. So you have to make a conscious choice. It's like, well, what world do I want to inhabit? What do I want to make real for myself? So let's take a deep breath right now and ask for the clearing within the fogs and illusions and the things that go bump and scrape in the background of our consciousness that inhibit our seeing clearly through the light of our own divine being. What is so for us? What is so for you right now? And to have a clarity and a clearing of the lower frequencies of the day and the vibrations you've brought to this moment, ask for the clearance through spirit. And just take a deep breath and allow all that is not of joy and peace and well-being to roll off you like water on the back of a little duck. And just see all negativity dissolve back into the nothingness. Because there's nothing negative and evil in all of existence. It is but an interpretation that the mind has made on the innocence of creation, which is wholly loving and benevolent. And now we're going to chant the HU. And as we do that, the mind clears. It's like the fog is dispersed with the powerful vibrations of the nameless, formless, all-encompassing life in which we live and move and have our being. So take a deep breath. You. And just notice the difference in your vibration now from where we were when we started and where we are right now. Did you, any of you, experience chills coming over you, a tingling on the top of your head. Perhaps you saw color, light, purple, blue, gold, white, or some other color. Just notice the difference before you ask for the clearance and before you chanted the hue. Just notice. So we are, bottom line, attention, intention, energy, and vibration. That is what we are. So right now, what's your present focus of attention? What's your intention right now? What energy are you radiating right now? What vibrations are you hosting and transmitting throughout the cosmos right now? That's what you are right now. And that's what you are identifying with this moment. So the key to self-mastery is to consciously master your attention, intention, energy, and vibration. Because your attention, intention, energy, and vibration determine where you are. They determine which dimension, realm, and state of existence you inhabit. So there are numerous states of consciousness. Actually, there's no way to count all of the states of consciousness that we can place ourselves in with our attention, our intention, our energy, and our vibration. All of the heavens and hells and purgatories, all of the glorious divine realms, everything, are all present right now as options where we could focus our attention and intention and energy and vibration. You probably have all encountered people who are living in hell right now. They're in the throes of drug addiction or debauchery or states of hatred and you know, really dark places. And you can see that they're in hell. The hell of their own inner torment. And you can also see people, at least I've seen people, that are in states of complete oneness with God, in absolute radiant bliss, and a love that encompasses everything. And these people would be in heaven, wouldn't they? And you can see people having happy dreams, and you can see people having nightmare dreams. And sometimes they're asleep, and sometimes they're awake. But you can see that they're caught up in their own little internal process, their own little dream time. So all of the prisons of self-limitation are within us, as well as all of the liberation, salvation, at-one-ment, and the oneness and unity of all life. All of those are states of consciousness within us. Everything is self-generated from within our state of mind. So important to realize. You know, Jesus said that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So pay attention to what liberates you and sets you free. So we're moving in and out of states of consciousness all the time. You know, the average person goes through the gamut of heaven and hell and everything in between in any given daytime, you know? How many people do you see, not counting the self-realized, that are happy all day long and peaceful all day long and feel good about themselves all day long and have a sense of well-being and fulfillment all day long? Well, none, right? You have to have awakened to some degree before you even realize there's something really wrong with living a miserable life day in, day out. That's not natural. That's not normal. That's not the way we are meant to live. So, we all dream. Some quite lucidly, but whether you're lucid or completely unconscious or have sporadic points where you remember, and many that are night times in which you don't remember, we all dream. We all imagine, which is to image in or visualize. And we fantasize, which is kind of the same thing. When you think about doing something, that becomes so for you on a certain level. Fortunately, most of us are not very consistent in that, and therefore our fantasies and our imagination is not too long standing. It's kind of like we don't put enough energy into to really manifest anything. We kind of just, you know, create thought forms which have a short duration. But they do tend to manifest at some level, which either is a positive thing for you or a negative thing. So it's learning how to use the mind to imagine and to fantasize that which would be enhancing where you want to go in life and what you want to manifest. Because those are creative things that we all do. We all mentally project. And you are actually where your thoughts are focused. You know, you sit in a classroom, but your mind is down at the mall. You're not in the classroom. Your mind is in the mall, and so you're actually in the mall. Another thing, when you mentally visualize something with great clarity, your physical body does not know the difference between doing it and thinking about it, which can work really well because you can do mental yoga, mental tai chi, mental restructuring of your body, mentally visualizing whatever it is you want to manifest, and you can begin to really create something just through that mental process. But again, most of us are not terribly, should we say, consistently impeccable in using the mental body efficiently so that it does aid and assist us in what we want to manifest. It's also interesting because Jesus told the man that lusted after a woman that it was the same as having committed adultery with her. And he was letting us know that our mind doesn't know the difference between doing something physically and thinking about it. And it's very important to understand that aspect of the mind. The mind always creates form at some level. The mind is the only creator of form. So when you look around the world and the room that you're in or wherever, and you see all of these items, these are all images the mind has made, every single one of them. And when you realize that, you begin to take responsibility for what you allow your mind to focus on. Granted, we share a collective mind stream, so there's no such thing really as your thoughts and my thoughts. There is mind, with a capital M, which we could call the God mind, and we can operate within that in the attunement with the divine mind, or we can miscreate by identifying with the ego, which is always a limited position to present. And it's not in alignment with the divine mind or with truth. So we all travel inwardly in consciousness, whether or not we're aware of it. Some astral project, this is where you'd have an experience where you're hovering above your body and seeing your body sitting or sleeping below. Or you're traveling out in your neighborhood, or you're out in the cosmos and you have a silver cord attached, like an umbilical cord, to your solar plexus. And that keeps extending as far as you want to travel within the astral realm, but it doesn't go any further than the astral realm. Some people do this consciously, and some without awareness, but I would say we all astral travel. Some people shift their consciousness, and I think everything we do beyond the body, beyond the physical world that we see, what we're after is an experience beyond the body. We want to experience something. We want to shift how we see things. And we have tried everything you could imagine throughout the ages to find a way to leave this world, to get out of this world, to get out of this body, to get out of the pain, out of the misery, out of whatever state of limitation we find ourselves in. And we've used all kinds of processes to do that. Excuse me. Now, some people drum, some chant mantras, some sing devotional bhajans, some do rituals and yajnas, which are the fire sacrifices that you see done in India, for example. Some twirl, like the dervishes. Some pray, some contemplate scriptures or other holy writings. Some meditate, some do spiritual exercises. Some move their spiritual inner awareness into the soul and keep expanding their awareness, which we could call self-realization or soul travel. Some go on vision quests. Some do shamanic ceremony. And some use hallucinogenic herbs to shift their consciousness. Here I want to speak a little bit about drugs and alcohol and the properly administered shamanic medicine and herbs that people take to have different experiences within the inner realms and the dream time. John Roger has said, he's a spiritual teacher of myself and many of you who are listening, say that drugs, the common type of what we would call drugs, which would be, heroin and crack cocaine and, I don't remember all the names of them, including marijuana. But all of those drugs that you buy on the street or get from a drug dealer here in the West generally are very impure. They're a mixture of chemicals, in many cases, and different substances. And drugs categorically lock you in to the body and lock you in to the astral dimension, which is the dimension just above the physical. That's why, depending on your state of consciousness, you'll have either a bad trip or a pleasant trip. Everything from Nightmare Alley to, a high of some degree. But it locks you into the physical body. and is not an option for anyone who wants to go higher than the astral plane. It takes, according to John Roger, about 3 years to clear drugs out of the body. Even smoking one marijuana will take, marijuana, whatever it is called, will take a long period of time to clear out of the aura. And he said it makes the aura have a sticky feeling. So if you're a healer and you run your hand over the aura of a person who is heavily into drugs, you can feel the stickiness in the aura. Now, I would put a little caveat here with regard to hallucinogenic herbs and medicine administered by a trained shaman. You know, some people go down to Central America and South America and into the jungles and different places, and they do healing practices and consciousness-altering practices with trained shamans that know the herbs. They know the spirits that inhabit the herbs. They know how to administer the herbs. They know how to vision guide you through the process. And people have a real shift in consciousness in doing that. And some, it's very helpful to them because it breaks that rigidity of the mind. Like, for example, Carlos Castaneda, in his studies with Don Juan, was a trained shaman that was able to guide him and break that very, very linear, concrete ego mind that Carlos had, and made him a true Nagual, you know, a person who could travel throughout the dream time and have the powers of a spiritual Nagual, which is like a spiritual warrior in that particular Yaqui tradition. However, those of you who are initiates of the sound current and have as your particular objective going beyond the psychic and material realms, which would be the astral, the causal, the mental, the etheric realms, and into soul, drugs are not compatible with that path. Obviously, you want to go beyond the astral plane, and you can't do it through drugs. Drugs recycle you back into this world. When the effects wear off, you find yourself back in this world, maybe with a different point of view, maybe with a more expanded awareness, but nevertheless, you're back here in the old 3D world. Now, alcohol, according to John Roger, allows you to leave the body, but only go into the astral realm. It has a different effect on the body. And that's why people, you know, joke about seeing the pink elephants and stuff like that. You see the astral phantasmagoria of the astral plane when you're drunk, when you're under the influence of alcohol. I find that it deadens the nervous system. And, you know, I just absolutely don't drink. Even a sip or two of it is just, you know, I feel a weakness at the base of the skull, where the spine aligns with the base of the skull, almost immediately with just the slightest little bit of alcohol. So I don't do alcohol, and I've never done drugs. In fact, I was warned from early childhood, there was innate sense that I should avoid drugs, even though at that time nobody took drugs that I knew. They weren't prevalent like they are today. And now with the legalization of marijuana, I just want to caution everyone who is a sound current initiate or who aspires to go into self and God realization to maybe check out, you know, with spirit before you get involved in any of that stuff, because it's not compatible. And I know the Swamis, many of the Shaivites in India, they'll smoke Ganga, which basically is marijuana. And I'm not too sure why they do that. But Sai Baba said that it was an incorrect spiritual practice. And I guess he would probably agree wholeheartedly with what John Roger has to say about it as well. It's not the way to get out of this world, okay? Aside from just a real brief detour into the astral plane. So no, for initiates of the sound current, it is not an option. And it may become quite a issue with us as we have now in California and many places in America and throughout the world legalized marijuana. So anyway, maybe more people will make love and instead of war, who knows? I just thought it was important to let you know that so that you could choose wisely what it is you want to do. Speaking of doing, how in the world are you doing with these new energies? Good heavens, this last week has knocked me for a loop. Actually, what I've experienced is such a shift to another dimension of the mind or consciousness, I mean, what mind, is that all I want to do is sit in absolute silence. I don't want to hear music. I don't want to hear talking. If I watch TV, I either have it very, very, very low or muted, and I just watch the pictures. I find I can't read linear things. You know, it's like if I try to read anything heavy, third-dimensional, technical, my mind goes into a complete blank. Trying to think of myself in the past is like trying to remember a person I knew a long time ago, but dimly remember now. It's like the past is of someone else, not me. There's a quietness in the self that is completely detached from the normal mind stream and perception of the third dimensional world. It's fading more and more for me. And I wonder how many of you are having that experience too. I've had people contact me that were afraid that they were becoming senile because they can't remember things. And I said, no, you're not becoming senile. You're simply being detached and unplugged from the third dimensional mental associations and attachments that you've had in the past. Another thing is the habits are dissolving. It's where you wake up in the morning and there's not a thought in your mind. There's not any kind of motivation to move the body. And you kind of have to think through, okay, now we have to, you know, get up and wash our face. Now we have to, you know, you almost have to talk yourself through what needs to be done from moment to moment. I think this is just a transitional phase. I hope so, because it's not very easy to operate in a way that makes sense to most people. But it's what I've been experiencing, and the people that I'm living with and associate with are going through it too. It didn't frighten me because I don't really pay much attention to the world anyway. But to people who have to go to work every day and people who are used to being able to function really well in the third dimension are finding it very, very disconcerting not to remember, not to be able to put two thoughts together as they did before. So I think it's part of a shift now as we move into a completely different paradigm and paradigm of life. And just be patient with yourself. I'll share as many keys as I possibly can that are revealed to me and how to navigate this new reality. But I just want to assure you that the shift has already happened at a higher level. We're already home free. There's not a thing to worry about. We're reliving and revisiting something that was already completed a long time ago. And I guess we're just having what you might say, a combined life and lives and consciousness review. So pay attention to the little shifts that you go through each day. And play with it. Play with the energies. Don't make yourself wrong. Whatever it is you're going through, make it work for you by just knowing that it's good. You know, whatever it is, it's good. It'll pass. You know, next. So for me, the linear mind seems to no longer exist or operate as before. No mind, no thoughts. It's just sort of a here and now-ness. And it's nice and peaceful because there isn't enough of the linear mind to drum up any drama or worry or anything of that nature. So in that sense, it's good. Now I want to ask you, have you ever had a dream wherein you dreamt you awakened, but didn't really? I mean, within the dream, you continued on and started having another dream. So that happened to me, oh gosh, years ago. I had a series where there was like maybe 5 or 6 dreams within a dream in which I never woke up until, you know, the very, very last. And I asked John Roger about it, and he said, that's when you are entering a different dimension, when you have a dream within a dream. Now, one of the things that perhaps you don't realize is that you have a transition from one dimension to another, whether you're in a physical body or out of the physical body. For example, let's say you leave the physical body in which you call down here death, but it's not really death, it's stepping into another dimension of life. And you're in the astral realm. Well, after you've worked through whatever it is you're to work through in the astral realm, you will have what looks like a translation or transition or death, if you want to think of it that way, into the next level, which could be the causal, or, you know, maybe you're ready to go into the mental. But before you go into each of those different realms or worlds, you have a transition point in which you step from one world, one reality, into another world and another reality. And within that, you have to learn how the next level operates, because they all have different laws that operate within those dimensions. So you have to learn the new terrain, and that applies when you go into a new level of initiation. Same thing. You're like a baby born into a new world. You have to learn how it operates and how to master it so that you can function within that realm. And then you move to the next. And so each of those has a profound shift on your consciousness and the way you perceive life. Now, the experiences of passing from that one dream into another, and sometimes multiple dream sequences during the nighttime, notice them. It's important to notice these shifts. Why? Because you're actually moving from one dimension or realm of consciousness into another. And these various realms and dimensions of consciousness are not neatly stacked like pancakes or floors in a skyscraper, although they're often described in such a manner. I think probably just so we can get some idea of how to work with them. But these so-termed planes of consciousness or realms of consciousness are perhaps better described as vibrations. The moods and emotions and states of mind that we pass through each day. I mean, you don't think about it, do you? You know, you're angry and upset and ranting and raving, and then the next moment you've calmed down and you're quiet and you're peacefully eating your dinner, whatever. You don't realize that you've passed from heaven or from hell into a happy dream. I won't say heaven because you've just come out of hell, so probably you haven't gone immediately into heaven. But you put yourself in hell when you're in a state of anger. Sai Baba said that's the most dangerous emotion of the ego, because in a state of anger, you literally become unconscious of God, of goodness, of any rationality, and that's why all violent crime occurs in a state of anger. Anger, he said, is demonic. So we move from being a human to a demon when we go into anger. And when we go into hatred, Baba said, these are demonic qualities, these are not human qualities. And so anger and hatred are the two worst enemies, and we must be absolutely monitoring those states so that we don't give in to them, because they take you over. They completely take you over, and they rob you of God, God realization, the sense of your divinity and that of others. So the clairvoyant person can observe the colors in your aura as you go through these different emotional and mental states. And each color in the aura reveals a vibrational state that one is expressing at any given time. The aura, in a sense, is in constant movement. As we shift our moods, our emotions, our mental states, we're constantly out picturing that vibration and that energy. So each person will exhibit a certain array of colors that more or less stay constant, that reveal the habitual emotions and mental patterns. But then, as an overlay, you'll have the moods that come in and distort the color. For example, a nice, clear, golden in the mental body usually shows a vibrant, clear mental body. But if it's tainted, for example, with greed or avarice or attachments, it'll start to get muddy, like a mustard, muddy kind of brown comes into that yellow. Or if you have a lot of fear and doubt, you'll have a gray that comes in and kind of mutes the brilliant gold of the mental body. So like that, you see, there's a basic color, and then you'll have the overlay of your moods and states. What I've noticed is that the aura really shifts with initiation, which reveals the shift or upgrade into a higher state of vibration or consciousness. And that's how a master teacher can tell you when you're ready for the next level of initiation or upgrade in vibrational state of awareness. Same thing. So after you move yourself into that higher state, then if you're in that lineage that initiates in the outer world, you will have the initiation. But the outer initiation simply serves to notify all of your levels of consciousness, your conscious self, your basic self, and your personal self, that you've advanced energetically into a higher state. And not all lineages and masters do that. Some give you an outer initiation, and you're left on your own. You know, you don't get any more in the physical plane. Our lineage, through John Roger, initiates each level separately, so you have a very clear sense of where you're going and where you've been and your progression, which he said is helpful for the Western person who is so, you know, oriented to you know, progressive successes, so to speak. But it's not necessary. If you don't have that in your lineage, it's fine. So in truth, you initiate yourself into each level by moving your inner awareness into a new state of vibration and a new expansion of awareness. And then the outer serves as a confirmation. So whatever, your job is always to move into that new vibrational state of being and to function from that until it becomes your default setting and you're just naturally in that state. Then you're ready to move beyond it. So you move into a level, you explore it, you find out how it operates, and each dimension and realm operates in a different manner. And so you need to explore and find out how it works. If you saw the movie Ghost, and probably everybody that's listening has, you can get a really good idea of how the lower astral plane works. The character in the movie passed out of his physical body suddenly through being shot and found himself in the astral dimension closest to the Earth. He was bound to Earth by his love for his wife and his desire to protect her from the same people who had shot him. Now, once he had completed that task and saw that she was safe, he was able then to translate and transition into a higher dimension of light and love. So the film Ghost really did a great job in depicting the process of how you create on the astral, which, of course, is through the force of intention. And using the mind to move from one place to another. So here's the bottom line. We literally inhabit our state of vibration. The Pope was quoted to have said that there's no literal heaven or hell as an outer place, but that these are inner states of consciousness. And I found that true. But look, the world that you're sitting in right now is not out there either. You're sitting in your own inner state of consciousness. Pretty interesting, huh? But you open your eyes and you think you're seeing an outer world, and yet everything is within your own mind. So it's important where we place our mind, isn't it? Quite interesting. Now, many of you, myself included, work with people on the inner planes, as well as serve as a counselor in the outer physical world, or whatever we think of as the outer physical world. And we find it's very difficult to shift a person's consciousness, isn't it? You know, some of them are just so attached to their karma drama that they just hold on to it for dear death. You know, they just can't let go. And sometimes it takes a real shock to get them out of that habitual drama, whatever it is that they're caught up in. And the same applies to the inner planes. You know, people will be in a hellacious state. And we'll try everything as interplane helpers to get to them, to awaken them. I find that true in lots of battle scenes where I'm working with people who are trapped in that battle scenario. They'll go over and over and over the battle scenario on the interplanes, and you can't get through to them to say, hey, wake up, you know, the battle is over. There's no more war. There's no more fighting. And they're so caught up in that scenario, you see. Those ghosts sometimes that you'll find hovering over the battlefields. They're not really souls or entities. They're thought forms of the people that are still exercising that height of emotion that the war, the battle, or whatever entailed. And but there is an attachment, of course, to that. Soul. So you want to do what you can to awaken those aspects of consciousness and get them integrated back into the wholeness of the soul. That's called soul retrieval, you know, where you take aspects of consciousness that have become trapped in different scenarios and you very often shamanically journey that person back to retrieve that part of the self and integrate it. It's one of the shamanic techniques, soul retrieval, it's called. It would be more accurate to be calling it consciousness aspects retrieval, because the soul, you know, actually is always whole, always perfect. So you see all of these different states of consciousness that people create, and then they imprison themselves in it. And our work as counselors and teachers and ministers and light workers is to help the people that come to us, as best we know how, to get free. So something more powerful usually has to shock some of these individuals out of that hellacious state that they find themselves caught in. And no doubt that's, you know, no doubt that's why shock therapy was used in the early insane asylums. And, you know, it shocked people out of that state. Shamans will often use a sudden blow between the shoulder blades to shift the assemblage point of one's habitual state of consciousness. Sometimes it's a fall or a collision or a calamity that shakes and shifts people out of a, you know, closed state of consciousness. The initiatory tests that one undergoes prior to initiation serve the same purpose. You'll witness the same pre-initiatory testing taking place prior to any rite of passage into a new state in almost every culture. You know, maybe that's the subconscious reasoning behind the hazing ritual that takes place prior to being admitted into a fraternity. I wonder, I bet it is. But every rite of passage is usually preceded by some sort of testing that we go through. And if you look at your life before you had an initiation, you'll find that that's the case. Very often, Oprah, on her Super Soul Sunday, will ask people the big questions. And she asked Arianna Huffington, a soul initiate, "What do you think happens when we die?" And she gave the best answer I think I've ever heard. "What do you think happens when we die?" And Arianna Huffington replied, "It's like leaving your rental car at the airport and flying." So can you think of your physical body as a rental car? Sai Baba calls it that. He says your body is like a rental car. And your fee for renting the car is devotion to God. So another thing that I find very odd on our planet, planet Earth, which I told you I came here into this physical body in this life, immediately from a lifetime in the higher dimensions of Venus, where we really don't have what you call here death. We have a translation ceremony or a transition ceremony when we want to shift to another dimension of life. And we step into what is called a moxon flame or an ascension flame. And it doesn't burn, but it transfigures the atomic structure of the vehicle that you're in, which in the higher dimensions would be an etheric vehicle, into whatever the intention would be at that time to move into. I guess you would hold that vibration and move into that next dimension. It's kind of like reinventing yourself, you know, which you have the option to do. But when people say rest in peace, there is no such thing of resting in peace or going into eternal rest. I just don't know where people get this nonsense. What you do is step into another dimension of ongoing life. That's it. It's like walking from one room into another. Now, if you died violently or passed out of the body violently, or had a prolonged illness, you can be put in a place called the Hall of Rest. That's where my father was. My father passed of emphysema and was quite ill towards the end. And I found him in the Hall of Rest, which is like a big dormitory. And light workers were moving about and working with people, helping them to recover, you know, from a very stressful life experience. But, you know, then you go on to work. So You can choose to stay and work on the inner plane, serve as a guide or a helper, or be a creative spirit of some sort. And it's interesting because my friend Anne Francis, whom some of you may have heard of, a very enlightened woman, actually a master, she passed away. She actually, I guess you would call her an integrated aspect of St. Francis, the saint. I guess you would call her that. But she had integrated into a physical body that had a certain human lifespan. And when that lifespan came to an end, the physical body dropped. And she found herself in the next moment on the inner planes, looking down at her body with the paramedics and everything that were there. And she was in the presence of Jesus and Yogananda. And they said, she looked down at her body and she said, "I'm dead. Wow, I'm dead." And they said, "Yep, you're dead as a doornail." And she said it several times, you know, she was just like looking and, you know, in wonder at the whole thing. And they said, "Now you have three choices. You can return, but you won't have to eat anymore. You can eat if you want, but it'll just turn into light in your body. You'll never age and you'll never die. Or you can stay up here with us because we have lots of work and we need a lot of help up here. Or you can change your appearance to be any age, any appearance that you wish, and come back looking differently, or you can, you know, continue looking as you are. But there again, you won't age and you will never die again." So she chose to come back as she is, how she looks. And you know, I think I told you at some point that I lived with her under the same roof for several weeks because we were on the same program as speakers in Canada. And she told her story. And I was able to spend a lot of time with her and discuss with her and talk to her about her experience. And I asked her, too, since I'm an integration into this body also, as she is, and this is not my actual body that I'm wearing. It's the body of the birth entity, but it's not my physical form. And I asked her, I said, when it comes time to shift to the other dimension, when we're fed up with being here, in my case, will I take the body? Will I ascend the body? Will I dematerialize the body? Will the body just die? And she said, it's entirely up to me what I want to do with it. She said, I can dematerialize it. I can spiritualize it. I can, you know, ascend it. Or I can just let it you know, drop away. And that's probably a choice that a lot of us have. We're not having to do things in this new dimension the way we've always done it. You know? But do know that you are conscious awareness itself. Your body is only a temporary earth suit. And your choices are very much the same as Anne Francis. You can return to Earth or another planet to serve or to experience other places and things. You can stay on the inner realms and serve as a helper, as a divine co-creator or co-assistant with creation. You can do that with a form or without a form. You can go back to another planet. You can return to the Ashtar or the Galactic Command. You can join the immortals if you have completely raised your vibration to immortal light. Then you can stay indefinitely in this world, like Babaji does, or some other world. Most of these beings who are called the immortals live in the Himalayas or the Andes or in the higher physical etheric dimensions of Shambhala, elsewhere. There are ascended masters that have raised their vibration up to the level of the Chohan, where they have become the superhumans, you might say. Some of them densify their physical body, like Omniconic, and some of them create what is called a Maya Virupa, which is a self-created meditated form that they can operate through when they need to appear physically. So there's many, many options that are available to us as light workers and as ascending beings or descended ascended beings, because many of us have already ascended on other planetary worlds. So we're not really here to ascend for ourselves, we're here to assist with the ascension and elevation of vibration on the whole planet. And a lot of us know that, and some of us need to be reminded because we get a little bit too earthy in our definition of self and life if we stay here long enough. But just know that you're an immortal being and that you have an ongoing existence that is infinitely more and more and more joyous and fulfilling and exciting and adventuresome, and that you literally have no limits, none, and there's nothing to fear, because in highest truth, you've never left home. This has all been dream time. And we've all been dreaming, some a little more lucidly than others, but dreaming nevertheless. So as long as you're dreaming, make it a happy dream, and may you have a very, very happy awakening when you can laugh heartily that you ever believed any of this stuff was real. So I hope this has been helpful and liberating and joy-provoking, joy-inspiring. And, God willing, I'll be with you this next Wednesday. And until then, why don't you go inside and look at your aura and see what colors are there and what's going on in your aura. Just project your form in your mind several feet in front of where you're sitting, and look and see what shows up in your inner imagery. And I think you'll be very pleased what you see, because when I look at you, you are absolutely breathtakingly gorgeous. So let's go out chanting three on I hues. And we send our love and our light to every sentient being, to every man, woman, and child, to all life forms, to our beautiful planet, to our beautiful universe and cosmos, and to all life everywhere. Deep breath. Blessings, love, and grace. Namaste.